Chicago. Did you not get the memo? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, by my guy, Goose. That's his nickname. I didn't make that shit up. That's actually his nickname. And we're going to run with that. So it's Buzz and Goose, not Buzz and Juice today. It's Buzz and Goose. We are here from the On Tap Sports Network, and we're going to talk about this 105-91 winner, our Chicago Bulls, over the Toronto Raptors in a hell of a preseason game. Starters got a lot of minutes tonight. We're able to showcase what that starting unit's going to look like. And I'm all here for it, man. So, Goose, what is up, my man? What did you think of this game? I know you got off work. You were able to watch this thing in its entirety. How'd you feel about it?
Yeah, I literally called myself off work early to get home to watch the 5 o'clock game since I have to stream it on the internet. So, praise to the Lord for being a manager and having some leeway there. But no, I'm feeling a little lubricated. I got the day off tomorrow. And my biggest takeaway from this game was Zach LaVine's defensive effort. We know the offensive game. We see that coming all the time. Just about every game, you can guarantee that Zach's going to drop at least 20. But tonight, we saw Zach attacking on the defensive end, and that made my shorts rise.
Pitching a tent. Said you were lubricated, my friend. I am going to join you. Hashtag crack 'em. You want an awesome Crack'em koozie, you can go to ontapsportsnet.com. It's under the shop section. Go get yourself some pretty cool t-shirts. Our Bulls on Tap t-shirt will be coming soon.
That logo is sexy.
Yeah,
want that.
Yeah, that logo is sexy. People are going to want that logo. It's very, very nice. So I got my nice ice-cold Miller Lite here, and we're going to talk about this game. Yeah, so getting to your point about Zach. His three-point shot's amazing. And I'm here for it, man. He went 4-for-6 from downtown. He scored 26 points, albeit in 25 minutes, went 9-for-14 from the floor, had 4 assists and 5 boards. Zach looked great in this lineup tonight. And I know Wendell, we'll get into him a little bit. He struggled a little bit trying to get his feet back under him, so I'm not going to overreact about this right now. But this lineup was really fun to watch, and Zach just seemed to flourish in it.
No, I mean, plus minus is a pretty touchy stat for some people because it kind of depends when you were in the game, when the team went on a run, if you were on the floor or not. But Zach LaVine was a plus 30 tonight.
Led the team.
I think that's a telltale sign. I really feel that the Bulls in this offseason, we touched on it on previous episodes, really set up this roster to let Zach and Lowry both take that step this year. They gave them the right supporting cast that's going to allow them to play their game, but also play in the system and move the ball, but still get their numbers.
Right. Yeah. I agree with that. Speaking of Lowry, dude, a lot of feedback that we've been getting on Twitter at the Bulls on Tap page, or just when we're, you know, tied in together on posts on Twitter, is people are really upset and or concerned about Lowry Markkanen's touches. But I think if he's making the most of the touches that he's getting, I'm not really concerned about it. I don't know how you feel about that. I want to get your opinion on that real quick. But I mean, Lowry went 4-for-10, 2-for-4 from behind the 3-point line. He had 15 points and 13 boards. And an awesome stat here tonight, Keith, is something that we talked about. Goose, I'm gonna keep doing that. Once the beers start flowing, I'll just start calling you Goose for sure. But 4 offensive rebounds tonight, and that is something that I was very excited about. So what do you think about everything I just said there with Lowry's maybe lack of touches, I guess? Or do you think that if he's able to make his touches count, that it's all good?
All right, well, let's the stat season with 15 and 13 tonight. You touched on the 4 offensive boards, which means he grabbed 9 on the defensive end. And if Lowry played more than 21 minutes tonight, I'd be a little more concerned with the fact that he only had 10 shots. Coby White took the most shots on the team tonight at 16, but he also played 23 minutes. So I think you can make the argument that since Lowry was drafted and he got that start when Portis knocked the daylight out of Nico, that he should probably be getting more touches. And that you can say that in most games, probably except for February, where he was 20 and 10 every night. But there's never going to be a time where I'm going to disagree with the fact that Lowry should get more touches. That's not something I'm ever going to shy away from. Once we get into the regular season and we're seeing actual minutes against actual players, I think Lowry will find the ball more often. But the main thing is that the ball is moving. It's not sticking in Zach's hand.
Right. And, I mean, we've seen a lot of that. The ball hasn't been sticking in Zach's hand. And I really – we had a couple different scenarios. There's a scenario in the first quarter here, a situation that Zach got himself in where he did get a little ball dominant for my liking, and he got ended up getting stuffed at the rim. And he did have a wide-open Lowry Markkanen in the upper part of your TV screen in the corner, and then he had a wide-open Tomas Satoransky in the bottom part of his screen. I think that just coming in time, Zach's going to be fine. He's going to be hitting that open man. He's just trying, you know, he's out there, he's amped. He's trying to make his thing, you know, make things happen. But you can't really bitch too much about the offensive performance and little things that might have happened here tonight because of how well the Bulls played offensively and defensively. Another thing I want to touch on, Zach, is his defensive performance tonight. It was out of this world. He was everywhere. He was getting into the passing lane. He, albeit maybe not getting recording the amount of steals that we would have liked to see, you know, but he was in the passing lane. He was breaking up passes. He ended up coming out with two steals tonight, and especially in that first quarter, he was all over the place. And I had tweeted out, if Zach is able to keep that same energy, right, and just do this during the regular season, I don't want him to burn himself out too bad. You know how a lot of players are. They exert more energy on the offensive end than on the defensive end, and then you have your players that, you know, vice versa, who do it on the defensive end to the offensive end. But this is what I think blasts Zach off into the stratosphere. We know he could score at will. We know he could shoot. He can get to the rim at will. He can play make. If he starts doing it like this on the defensive end, we're talking about a top 15 NBA player here.
No, and you're not exaggerating there, because I don't think you can name 10 players in the NBA that are a harder cover than Zach LaVine. If he can step up on the defensive end, which the way this roster is constructed, Zach is not going to have to exert as much energy on the offensive end this season, which should allow him to stay fresh and not play the LeBron James game at this stage of his career where he's just trying to conserve energy on the defensive end. If Zach can stay in attack mode on both ends of the floor throughout the game because of the pieces around him that are going to help carry the load and he doesn't have to carry it all by himself, we're going to look at a very scary season for Zach LaVine.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly with that statement. I think that, like I was saying before, I mean, if he's everywhere on the court doing those things, and I don't know if I could name 10 players better than Zach, you know, or not better than Zach, but easy to, you know, easier to cover than Zach. He's very tough. He's shifty. He can play make.
He can make a shot from anywhere on the floor.
Right. I mean, it's amazing. His fadeaway, man, it looks so nice. I mean, you could tell he's been working on that back to the basket and then going to that kind of that Kobe-esque, Michael-esque fadeaway, like that. He's been working on that. I love his opposite side shot. He's looking really good. Another guy I want to get into real quick in this game, albeit he only played 17 minutes, but that's Wendell Carter Jr. I wanted to get into him real quick. His offensive game did struggle here tonight. Not concerned about it at all. It's really him getting his first minutes here in the preseason, but a great stat that I took away is he did record a block in those 17 minutes. He had 7 boards, 3 of them offensive. And that's if him and Lowry can, you know, get those offensive boards, and Lowry worked on that aspect of his game, we knew Wendell could do it already. That's just going to create so many more chances for the Chicago Bulls team this season with their high-paced offense. You know, they're going to be able to get into sets. They're going to get the rebound reset, get it going. I wanted to, you know, get your opinion on what you thought of him tonight.
See, I'm not going to over-exaggerate or freak out about his conditioning at this stage. You saw most of the times when he was getting pulled, he had his hands on his hips and he was heaving. He was breathing deep. And that is going to happen when, you know, he missed the majority of the early September camp and he missed the majority of the training camp. And he's kind of just been doing the stretches and the warm up runs on the side. Once you get in a live game, there's only so far that the adrenaline can carry you. And I think we're going to see a lot different Wendell Carter come, you know, probably after the first 20 games. He's going to have to work himself into game shape a little bit to start the season. And we saw he didn't play at all in the second half. So Jimbo is very conscious of the fact that he needs some time. It's, you know, he's got to be worked into it. We're not just going to throw him into the fire and, you know, force him into that kind of thing. So I wasn't discouraged by what I saw. It was just exciting to see him get on the floor and be cleared for full contact. Obviously, it's reportedly just a tailbone bruise, which is probably just discomfort. It's not anything serious. But at the same time, the consecutive injuries do bring some concern. But just seeing him on the floor tonight was encouraging for me.
Right, right. Another guy I want to get into real quick, Sato. Sato tonight, you want to talk about a guy that knows his role, right? That's Tomas Satoransky. He can initiate bringing the offense up the floor, or he could be that guy that, you know, gets into a set play, sets the screen, gets to the corner right away, cuts in, try, you know, to get a layup with using his size on smaller guards. He could do all of that. And I'm not going to, you know, say Satoransky's a world beater by any means necessary, but we've talked about him on this show before. But tonight, man, it was just different. 4 for 5 from the field, 3 for 4 from behind the three-point line, 4 assists, 3 boards, 12 points in 22 minutes. Satoransky with this first unit looked amazing, and I think there's no doubt that he is the starting point guard going into our season opener. I mean, just no doubt in my mind that this is the guy that's going to do it.
No, there is no other answer for the starting point guard position on this team to open up the season. It would be nice to see Kobe come into himself and steal that spot from Sato at some point of the season. And having Sato come off the bench isn't the worst thing in the world. But no, there is no doubt in my mind that Satoransky is going to be the starter. He is a do-it-all player. He knows the game. He knows his role. He's pretty much 6'7", Ryan Archie Diakono with an actual three-point shot. And the defensive versatility of a 6'7 guard. So, you know, he brings that same kind of presence that Archie does. He knows the game. He knows what he's supposed to do. He plays within himself. And
right.
Just seeing that play out already and the chemistry that's going to build between him, Zach, and the chemistry he already has with Otto is something that's really exciting to take into the season.
Right, I agree with that. You know, another thing that I wanted to bring up, I know we keep getting into Zach and everything, but there was a couple instances tonight of a pick and pop with him and Lowry, and that's going to be super dangerous. You could tell that these guys work together this offseason. You've heard them talk about it. You've heard them say that, you know, they want to be one of the best 1-2 punches offensively in the NBA. Zach is going to create a lot of opportunities for Lowry. And I'm all here for that. If Lowry capitalizes off those opportunities, which I'm sure he will, Lowry's going to be a special player. And even, you know, shout out to Adrian Wojnarowski. I mean, he gave Lowry props on, and it was in a tweet. I don't know where he said it, but I saw it in a tweet that he said Lowry Markkanen's going to be a problem, and especially playing with Zach LaVine, that these two, you know, look to play really well together. I mean, there's just so many opportunities, man. It just blows me away. And credit where credit's due. Obviously, the season hasn't started yet, but I love how everything is looking so far, especially with what we just saw tonight with our projected starting lineup going in to the season opener. I want to move a little bit into the bench and talk about one guy in particular who I thought we'd see a little bit more time out of, but we really didn't. It was pretty much just garbage time, and that was Daniel Gafford. Any reason you think that he didn't get a lot of time tonight?
I think it comes down to the spacing factor. We saw Cornette nail multiple threes. He's just, you know, Gafford's more of an old school player, and I hate seeing that, you know, he isn't considered to be in the actual rotation. And maybe that changes on Thursday against the Hawks. But I do feel that Gafford is somebody that the Bulls are going to have to find minutes for. You can't keep him off the floor. His energy that he brings to the game is just, it's incredible. He gives it all on every play. And he does have skill sets that are going to be extremely valuable to this team. I was kind of concerned with the Lowry-Cornette pairing on the defensive end, and they seem to do all right tonight, granted against, you know, the Raptors C-D team. But I don't know. We'll see how it plays out during the season. If Lowry and Cornette start getting exposed, I think we might see more Gafford in Lowry on the kind of reserve unit when Wendell goes out.
Right. Right. Another guy I want to get into is who you just brought up, Luke Kornet tonight. 3 for 8 from the field, 2 for 7 from behind the three-point line. He had 8 points. He was a +5 in the plus-minus. He recorded 3 rebounds and 1 block. Also had a steal. Threw a steal in there. You know, I was shooting out a tweet, right? And I was talking about the second unit, and I was like, I'd like to see Gafford in there, and then Kornet comes in. I don't know if I keep forgetting about him, and that's my fault. I keep forgetting about this kid. And, I mean, he could shoot so well, and I really, really think he fits in well in that second unit with Thaddeus Young, because they played really well together tonight. Because, you know, Thad can kind of stretch the floor a bit, but, you know, he loves to kind of bulldoze his way into the paint to get a basket. And when that happens, you know, the defense always collapses on him, so it's really nice to have three-point shooters around him. And I think that you're going to see a lot of pairings between Young and Kornet, you know, during the regular season, and I'm all here for that. I love having bigs that can shoot the ball, and I love having, you know, when it makes sense, too. You know, and I'm not just having a stretch out there that's going to be a chucker. You know what I mean? You have a guy out there that's going to take effective high-percentage shots, and that's what Kornet did tonight, and I was very, very impressed by his play. And plus, I mean, with his 15 minutes of play, Gafford's 10 minutes of play, that only gave our guy, Felicio, 4 minutes of play, and I was very happy about that. I don't know how you felt about that, but I was pretty happy about it.
Oh, no, yeah, if Wendell Carter Jr. only plays, you know, the first half, and you only have to see Felicio at the garbage minutes with the streetwalkers, that's always a good thing. And, you know, back to Thad Young, though. Let's just talk about the impact that he makes on a game without having to score. He took 2 shots tonight. He was 1 of 2 from the floor. He missed the corner three, and he made, you know, 1 driving attempt. But that was the second highest rated player on our team in plus minus. That just tells you his presence and the extra things that he does that are not going to show up in the box score ever. But he can go a night with scoring 2 points and still technically be the second most productive player on the floor.
And again, that's why it gets into how you brought up earlier, like how it's controversial or it's, you know, people don't like that plus minus score in basketball. I don't know why they don't like that. I think that it shows the effectiveness of who's on the court, really. I mean, that's what the stat's for. And he played great. I mean, even though he only had 2 points, took 2 shots, and that driving layup that he did have, that was in traffic. That was pretty impressive. Finished with a little right-hand scoop there on the layup. But he was everywhere tonight. He was defending well. He was getting boards. He was, you know, in trying to involve his teammates as much as he could. He had 3 assists. You know, I mean, I liked what I saw out of Thad Young in the 20-minute sample size that we got from him here tonight. I really did. Another guy on the bench, Chris Dunn. He was pretty much scrutinized all game long, crucified almost all game long, because he missed quite a few three-pointers, man, and a couple of them were wide open. He went 1 for 4 from deep, 2 for 6 from the field. He did have 4 boards, 4 assists, 2 steals, but he also had 4 turnovers. He did, however, finish with a +7 and a +minus. But I can't remember exactly who I was talking to, but we were having, I think it was Jordan Miller, so shout out to him. He listens to all of our stuff. But, you know, he was like, man, I just wish that he wouldn't take these shots. And I just had to tell him, like, last year's Chris Dunn wouldn't have taken these shots, right? And then he would have tried to drive while getting the ball out on the wing. He'd try to drive in, and then 9 times out of 10, it'd probably result in a turnover, right? So I'm happy he's trying to take these shots. It's just preseason. He's trying to get that, you know, that rhythm going, that flow going from and getting used to taking shots from deep, because he knows that he needs to adapt to get any playing time within this offensive system.
Well, no, and I think that's something that Bulls fans have to understand going into the season is the system that we're going to be playing, and we're going to get up a lot more shots than we did last season, which means it's okay if you're taking a good shot and you miss. So the 2 missed threes that Chris Dunn had from the corners were wide open. He airballed one and he bricked the other. And that was discouraging to see. But in the same breath, you have to understand that Chris not hesitating to take those shots is just as important as him. And I can't say it's just as important as making them. Obviously, if you make them, you get the damn points. When you miss, you don't get shit. But just the fact that he only took 6 shots tonight and 4 of the 6 were from three-point land, that kind of tells you that Chris Dunn understands that in this system, he's not going to be able to turn down those looks and try to do something else with the ball. Just take the shot. Get back in transition. If you miss, you're going to get another one. And we saw Chris, he did hit one after his first missed three-point attempts. And two were wide open. One was a late clock contested three that he kind of just chucked up there.
Right.
So just the fact that he is taking them is a step forward from what we've seen from Chris Dunn in the past.
Right, and that's an argument that I you know, like, I'm not going to fight strongly about it, right, because the guy's missing the shot, so I'm not going to, like, go die on the hill or anything like that, but I'm happy that he, like, because I look at that as a development in his game, whether or not he's hitting them or not, that he's willing to take these shots, not causing a turnover, and I know that he did have four tonight. He really needs to work on that, but as a second unit guy, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. And then, like, pointing, you know, going back to what you said earlier, if Coby White does end up taking, you know, the starting job from Sato, right? And then you have Dunn, Sato, Cornette, Thad in that second unit, and by God, you know, willing that he's healthy, Chandler Hutchison, I'm excited for that second unit as well. And I think that Chris Dunn would fit very well into that. You know, he's a hard-nosed defender, and he's got some shooters around him, and he can get to the rim and create. So I liked what I saw out of Chris Dunn other than that. And he, you know, again, I'm gonna use the stat because he did. He finished plus in the plus minus, man. You know, he's plus seven. So I'm going to take it all day long.
No, I mean, the way I kind of look at Chris Dunn's game is, yeah, he's careless with the ball. He probably had two unforced turnovers out of the four that he had tonight. One of the turnovers was an offensive foul that was kind of crap, but he's going to get you those turnovers back on the defensive end. So when you add up Chris Dunn's steals with his assists every night, he's still going to be a positive on top of the mistakes that he makes. And hopefully moving into the season, we see less of those mistakes once you build the chemistry and you have the continuity and you have the understanding of the players around you. But at the end of the day, I cannot find a negative about having Chris Dunn as a backup guard in your rotation. He is very good defensively, and he has a lot of skills that he needs to improve on, but they're there. And it hurts to watch when he struggles because you see the wasted potential, and I know he's been tossed into the dumpster fire by most Bulls fans, but the talent is there, and that's why it's so disappointing when he does struggle.
Right. So another guy I want to get into real quick on this bench, and we're going to hit the best for last off of the bench. Maybe not the best, but definitely the most anticipated guy to talk about. But Denzel Valentine, whatever. Not a lot of minutes tonight. Okay, he played 8 minutes. He went 0-for-1, had 2 boards, 2 fouls. And I don't believe he even scored. He didn't score. So I think when Hutchinson comes back, I think Denzel's playing himself into, I mean, I know that he was hurt and, you know, he hasn't played. And these, you know, these first 3 preseason games, you know, is when he came back and started getting his feet wet, but he looks slow. And I know it takes time, you know, to get the game speed back on your feet, but he looks slow. He looks ineffective. And, I think that he's just going to be used for situational purposes when you need some 3-point shooting. I don't know if he's going to be able to a guy that's really going to crack that rotation if and when Hutch comes back healthy. I just want to get your opinion on that real quick while we're talking about it.
Well, I'll throw it out there. Obviously, Denzel was inactive all last season. He wasn't even really cleared for contact for the September pre-mini camp that they were raving about, all the players attending. So you got to give him a little leeway. Even in the Pelicans game, he didn't play over 20 minutes. His conditioning is clearly probably a factor at this point. But in that same breath, the key for the Bulls is going to be transition play. And to get in transition, you need defense and rebounding. And that is something that Chandler Hutchison brings tenfold compared to Denzel or anybody else that, you know, you might want to throw into this rotation at that 2-3 spot. And I think Hutch, if he can get and stay healthy, is going to play a very big role on this team. Because outside of, you know, his shooting and even that if he's wide open in the corner, he's probably going to make it. He's just got a longer release than we'd like to see at this point. But his defensive prowess, his transition skills, he's a great secondary playmaker on the break. He's great at driving to the basket. I think he does bring more value to this team than Denzel Valentine does if he stays in this state. Now, if Denzel gets right, 3-point shooting's the name of the game, and that's something that Denzel does at a 40% clip for his career. So
right, right. So let's get into the last guy that I want to talk about here after this Bulls winner. That's Coby White, buddy. Coby White has impressed throughout this preseason. I believe he's averaging like the second most points per game out of any rookie, and that's to Zion Williamson. He's only trailing. Coby White, man, 6 for 16 tonight, 4 from 12 from behind the three-point line. He ended up scoring 18 points. He was a plus 14 in the plus-minus, had one assist, two boards, one of them being an offensive board, which was a pretty nice putback. He was like he was playing 21 out there, Goose. But he looked good. And the thing that I love the most about Coby White is that the kid doesn't hesitate to pull the trigger and shoot the ball. I like that. He's confident in his game. And him coming off the bench to start the season off is going to be we're going to play a lot faster, I believe, when he is on the court. But I'm happy with him kind of having the reins to come off that bench and create and do some good things. And that's what he did tonight. And even when he was in with the starters, too, because it wasn't just all benchmen. He was in with the starters for a bit. Him and Zach and Lowry together were fun to watch. And I'm all for that. I think this kid's going to be good. I know we sound like a broken record when we say that. And I know 6 for 16 isn't the sexiest by any means necessary, but he played effective basketball tonight, and I'm all for that.
No, I like the lack of fear. Having confidence is key in improving and getting better as a player. And as somebody who was kind of skeptical about Coby White going into the draft, but also mentioned on C-Red Fred's podcast that despite my feelings about taking Coby at 7, as I initially had him projected later in the draft, I was kind of hoping the Bulls could get a late first and steal him back there. He might be the best fit with Zach LaVine out of this draft. You have the positional size, you have the off-ball skill, and you can kind of see where it, like, it's coming together already. We're 4 games into the preseason. He's still a rookie. He's still 19 years old. But you can see where Kobe's speed is undeniable. That is going to be dominant in this league. He's probably already a top 10 guard in the league when it comes to speed. So having that transitional pace and having that off-ball ability, but also the positional size to hold his own on either guard on the defensive end, like, it's really exciting to think about what Coby and Zach could be for the future of this team. Not even just this year, but the future of this team, having Coby White on a rookie contract for 4 years and Zach LaVine for 2 seasons past this, I think we're really going to see the emergence of a very exciting starting backcourt duo between the two.
Absolutely, and it just makes me feel even better that Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr. are here, because I believe that they're the starting front court for a pretty special team. So it felt good.
The craziness, think about it. We rebuilt for 2 years. We got Zach and Lowry in the same deal that kicked off the rebuild. You draft Wendell Carter Jr., and if we hit on Coby White, like we're kind of starting to feel like we might have, this is going to be a very fun team to watch for the next half decade.
I agree with that. I mean, I do, and I know that we might get a little bit roasted for this because it's preseason game 4. But God damn it, I'm going to stick by my guns. I'm going to stick to what I believe. I believe that this is going to be a fun team to watch, and I think that fun brand of basketball, and that, you know, if Boylan can really implement that good defense that he talked to us about when we were at the practice, if he can implement that with this young, fast team that loves to get shots up, I think we're going to watch special basketball that turns into playoff appearances, and I'm all for that. I 100%. I like what I'm seeing. I think these guys look good. Another thing I love is that they seem to play for each other, you know, and again, here comes Meatball Buzz take. and coming from Meatball Boylan's mouth, but they play for the name across their chest, right? They play for that city. And I think they're buying into that, and everything I've seen, I've enjoyed thus far. I can't be mad about anything. I love the draft picks. I love the way I'm watching them play. I love the fact that we got 90 shots up to Toronto's 80 tonight. And if you keep playing that brand of basketball, it's going to turn into dubs, because it's not, it, you know, stamina is a hard thing to keep up with. You know what I mean? And I don't know if a lot of teams can pick, you know, the young legs that we have out there, the volume of shots that are out there, the way that we're able to get rebounds with 2 7-footers in the, you know, in the paint, trying to crash those boards. I think it's going to be really fun, and I'm all for it. And this game, just, I know it's our first preseason win, but I had to crack a couple beers for it because I was just super excited about it. You know, it just, it makes all that feeling of, man, I wonder what they're going to look like when they're rolling on all cylinders. It's going to be that, and obviously competition's going to get a lot more tough when the regular season starts, but I think that this Bulls team is going to be up for that challenge.
No, I mean, and I get taken back a little bit when people come at Boylan for being too much of a meatball. Yeah, he's fucking corny. We get it. He doesn't know how to express himself in a way that's appealing to everybody. But at the end of the day, the only thing that fucking matters is that these players know that he cares. And he's there for them. And he's gonna be there when the shit gets tough. So these corny phrases and play for Bulls across your chest, that's what you want as a fan. You want the team that you're rooting for to have players that embrace your city and your culture, and just, they want to be here for your team. And I think that is a message that is going to carry this team far, as well as the family mentality that they're trying to build. Because I genuinely do feel that these guys care about each other. They want to see each other successful, and they want to enjoy that success together. And I think that is a great foundation for a young team that's building towards being a contender in the future.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Well, before we let everybody go here, I want to remind everybody to go to ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. If you want a cool koozie, some cool shirts, go to the shop at ontapsportsnet.com/shop. You can find the tab on the top of the screen. What else do I got? Follow me on Twitter at BuzzOnTap. Follow my dude Goose at BullScripted. And more importantly, follow this podcast at Bulls on Tap on Twitter. One special announcement I'd just like to make real quick as well before we hop off the mic tonight is, if you guys are listening to this either tonight, which is Sunday night, or tomorrow morning on your way to work, which would be Monday morning, I am fortunate enough and lucky enough, I will be on CLTV Sports Feed tomorrow night at 6:45 to 7 o'clock talking Bulls and White Sox. CLTV Sports Feed, so be sure to check that out and let me know if I suck or not. So that's all I got, man. You got anything?
Nah, man. Find me at Bull Scripted on Twitter. Other than that, find me here and on the C-Red Fred Bullseye podcast every other week or so. I'm really excited about this season. I hope you guys stick with us. We're going to keep bringing you content after every game. And I'm just really excited for the season. We got one more preseason game, and then it gets real. Then they all count, and they all hurt, and they all feel great, all in the same way. So I'm just ready for the season to kick off.
Oh, one more thing, too. You know, so on Sox on Taps, I know you're a Cubs fan, but on Sox on Taps, we do a pick to click. So I want to challenge everybody that listens to this to come up with something to the equivalent of pick to click. And I believe they're doing a stick to click over at Hawks on Tap for the Blackhawks right now. So on anybody listening to this, even you, Goose, I'm going to try to brainstorm something, too, that we pick a player, you know, before every game, at the end of every podcast, you know, previewing the next game, we pick a player that we think is going to be the most effective. So I want that to be food for thought for everybody. Come up with a cool name, like a pick-to-click or something like that, but make it. Let's try to make it basketball-orientated and run with that. But that is now all I do have, unless you have anything off the top of your head to come up with a cool name for that.
I mean, it's probably got to involve Zach LaVine somewhere.
It's going to be him like 9 times out of 10, huh?
LaVine and scheming? I don't know, man. LaVine kind of put me on the spot here.
That's the best way to do it, man. We don't have any outlines. We don't need that shit. We just come on here, we start talking, and then, you know, the alcohol starts giving me ideas, and I love to spew it off, you know?
Well, it's nice when I can indulge in a drink with you because I don't have work the next day. But no, I mean, flick to click, stay in the
Okay.
driving string, flick of the
So,
wrist, bucket in the hole. I don't
a
know.
flick of the wrist.
So no, I mean that's really all I got off the top of my head here. If anybody listening's got any better suggestions, make sure you shoot that to Bulls on Tap on Twitter. And we'll make sure to give you a shout out in the next show.
Fantastic. All right, let's go, Bulls.